The birth of a child is always a special time, isn't it? It's a time of rejoicing, a time when we know that God has blessed us, that there's a new life, that there's a family which has grown. But this time we've read of was even more special, because John was born through a miracle. His parents had been together so many years and now were old with no child. But now God opened the womb of Elizabeth. And this child was born as the result of a promise. An angel. The angel Gabriel had come. This child was born with a special role. To go before the Lord Jesus Christ. To go before the Saviour who was coming into the world. We read first of Zechariah as we studied Luke. We read of what happened to him in the temple. We read of Elizabeth, his wife. We read of Mary, their relative, to whom Gabriel appeared also. But with Zechariah, there was something unfinished. Remember, Zechariah had not believed the promise that was given to him. He said, "How can such a thing really happen when my wife is so old?" And the angel said, "It will happen because the Lord has said. But because you did not believe, you will not speak until that time." And so there's something unfinished. And in these verses, we return again to Zechariah. As we look at Zechariah, and we learn some lessons. We learn some lessons about how the Lord deals with people. Is the Lord dealing with you? We can learn here some principles about what God does in a person's life. Even one of his own people, what he does in their life. Now, Zechariah had been humbled. And that's our first point. Zechariah was humbled under the hand of God. He'd been humbled because of his sin. An angel had appeared to him. What a mighty sign he had seen. With his own eyes, he saw the angel of the Lord. The angel spoke to him, told him good news of a son, and Zechariah did not believe. And now God humbled Zechariah. But Zechariah was a man deeply loved by God. We were told early in the chapter, verse 6, they were upright in the sight of God. They observed all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. It was a great blessing God was now giving them. He gave them a special place in his plan. So we're seeing God humbles those he loves. And those whom he is calling and drawing nearer to himself, he humbles them. And it's because he loves them. Parents, we should discipline our children in love. That we want to see them going in the right path. But when we see them going to the right or to the left, we must bring them back. And sometimes that may be painful for them and for us. If we see them making a foolish choice, sometimes we allow them to taste the bitterness, to taste the bad taste of the way they've gone, so they might learn a lesson, and they might come back. And we do that because we love them. God does the same with his children. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 12. These Hebrews were going through a difficult time. And we're tempted when difficult times come to say, "Where is God? Why is God bringing me this pain? Where is the joy and where is the freedom that I desire?" And the answer can be, God is right here bringing this pain to you to teach you a lesson. And you couldn't learn it any other way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, "Don't forget that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline, God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a while, little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Zechariah was not able to speak for these months. If we look at verse 62, it seems he couldn't hear either, because it says they made signs to him to find out what he would like to name the child. Seems he couldn't hear the conversation they were having about the name. So they had to sign to him. Because of his unbelief, God humbled him. And this trial went on for 9 months, the whole time of the pregnancy. God needs to show us our sin. He needs to show us our helplessness. He needs to show us that we are nothing and we can do nothing. Zechariah needed to learn just to believe God, just to rest on God's promise. Because he hadn't done that, he needed to be humbled. There is no religion of victory, victory, victory. The victory is in Christ, but before he was risen, there had to be a cross. And for us who are sinners, we can't expect, we can't think that we'll just have comfort and peace, because God needs to humble us. He needs to bring us down before he can lift us up. And the first step in coming to Jesus Christ is to become aware of sin, is to become aware of God's hand against you because you're a sinner, because you've broken his laws, because you've broken his commandments. To be aware that God is a holy God, and that we are much, much less than we thought, and that we deserve only wrath and anger. God has to put us down before he can lift us up, because God loved Zechariah. He humbled him so that he might return back to the right place and the right way. He might return to obedience and trust. Has God humbled you? Has God been visiting you to show that you're a sinner? Don't be discouraged by that. Don't think that it means God is your enemy. But when God has put you down to the place where you're humbled, then he can visit you again to lift you up. Now, Zechariah also was being tested by God. And in this passage, we see a test. After he was humbled, God could then test him again. Because he had a test before and he failed it. He didn't believe the angel's words. He said, this thing cannot happen, surely. But now he has a test. The time came. John was born. But Zechariah still cannot yet speak. In verse 20 of the chapter, the angel had said, you will be silent, not able to speak, until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words. But now John has been born. We've come to the eighth day. The Jewish children were circumcised on the eighth day. That was God's covenant with Abraham. Every child should be circumcised the eighth day. But still he can't speak. And there would be a temptation in him to think, well, God has forgotten me. God has cast me off. God's anger will continue forever. And he's left me. The friends and the neighbours come to celebrate the birth. They come to give thanks. And that's a good thing to do. Maybe we should think of doing that when a little one is born. We bring our friends and neighbours together to give thanks to God. To thank him for his mercies to mother and to child. And it seems their tradition was that on this day they gave the name to the child. So verse 59, on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. Now it seems that the friends and the neighbours had chosen a name, and they chose the name of the father. Father, in his old age, probably this was going to be his only child. This would be the only way for his name to continue in the world. So they said, let us honour the father, let us give him this name. And that's a test to Zechariah and to Elizabeth. So remember, the angel had already given a name. That's in verse 13. The angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to give him the name John. So there was a known command. There was a known word from God. Now what will Zechariah do? It's difficult, isn't it? When your friends and your family all come to you and tell you what to do. When your relatives come and tell you this is what we'll do. But Zechariah had a known word from God. Zechariah was the only one who heard that word. When he was with the angel, there was no other person with him in the temple. He was in there alone. Only he knew what the angel had said. It seems he'd told his wife, Elizabeth. But now the people are saying, let's call him Zechariah. You can't call him John. There's nobody in the family with that name. That's not one of our names. We've chosen this name, Zechariah. So it was a test for him. What would he now do with the known word of God? The Bible tells us that if we follow Jesus Christ, we must follow him with our whole heart. That Jesus must be Lord, and he must be Lord of all our life, or we can't be his disciple. Jesus said, if you won't give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. If we turn to chapter 9 of this book, Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, we read of some who came to Jesus as Jesus was going to Jerusalem. So a very important time. Jesus' great mission to come and die on the cross, the time was near. The time was almost now. So this was a critical time. People had to decide, were they with Jesus now as he went to the cross, or were they not? Verse 57, as they were walking along a road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And Jesus was saying to that man, have you really understood the cost of following me? Have you understood the hardship and the difficulty that's coming? You seem to be thinking of following me and remaining comfortable, but that can't happen. Verse 59, he said to another man, follow me. The man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Sounds like a reasonable request. You know, my father's died. Remember, but this is the time. Jesus is going to Jerusalem and to the cross now. He's going to receive his kingdom and to be raised from the dead after a few days. And that man can only do one. He can go with Jesus now, or he can bury his father now. And he has to choose between family and Christ. And Jesus tells him that the kingdom of God has to come first. At verse 61, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus told him, you can't choose half and half. You must be all for me or none for me. There's a cost to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. We either follow Christ with our whole heart, or we don't follow him at all. We may give ourselves the name of a disciple, but unless we have the heart of a disciple, then Jesus will say, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Who are you? We may say, Lord, Lord, I did many miracles. I preached in your name. I did great things. But he'll say, who are you? I didn't recognize you. The test comes to Zechariah to choose between his clan, his neighbours, and the word of God, which only he had heard. It's a test that he passed. Verse 63, back in Luke 1, verse 63. He asked for a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. His name is John. The angel's already named him. God has already told us his name is John. And so his name is John. He passed the test. Now that's faith. When you obey in the darkness. You can't see, but you obey in the darkness. Zechariah, verse 64, immediately afterwards, after he had passed the test, his mouth was opened. His tongue was loosed. He began to speak, praising God. Now God gave what he had promised. Now God returned his speech to him again, after he'd passed the test. Now today, you can't see Jesus Christ. You can't see heaven open. You can't see hell and judgment and condemnation. You can't see the fires burning for the unsaved. You can't see the cross on which Jesus died. You can't see the stone rolling away as the tomb is opened and Jesus rises from the dead. You can't see the burden of sin which we carry before God. These things we can only receive by faith. We can read in the Word of God. We can understand as it comes to us through the Holy Spirit bringing the Word of God to us. But we have to believe. We have to accept the things which God has said. We have to trust in Jesus, even though we can't yet see him. But when we believe, then we're saved. When we rest on Jesus alone for salvation, when we accept this word he's given to us, then we can be saved. But not before. If Zechariah had failed the test, his mouth would have remained shut forever. He would have not spoken again. But when he did as God had said, then his mouth was opened. Now let's go forward then, our third part. Zechariah was blessed by God. He was humbled by God, as we all need to be humbled for our sins. He was tested by God, and God waited to see if he would believe and obey. And then the blessing came. So, verse 64, his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed. He spoke. He praised God. And next week, I hope we'll look at the things he said. Verse 67 tells us about the prophecy which he then gave. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He prophesied. So one moment, he's under judgment. He's being disciplined by God. But the next, he's lifted up and he's a prophet. And he's speaking by the Holy Spirit, the great words of God. And words which are now given to us in Scripture. So through Zechariah, some of the scripture is given. The test lasted only when it was needed. When God had completed his purpose, he lifted up Zechariah again. What are your trials and what are your problems? In what ways is God keeping you down for a time or making you to suffer? It lasts whilst God has a purpose. when God has completed his purpose, he can remove the problem in an instant. So you can know when the problem is there, then God is doing something. You just trust him and believe in him. Now the result of what happened was that God's name was praised. When God had completed his purpose, his name was praised. Verse 64, how did Zechariah use his tongue when he was given it back? To praise God. And that praise went out. Verse 65, the neighbors were all filled with awe. They wondered, they were astonished, they were amazed at what was happening. And it spread through all that region, the hill country of Judea where they lived. All over that place, people were talking. They were saying, what is God doing? Have you heard about what's happened in the house of Zechariah the priest? Have you heard about the son? Have you heard about the prophecy? Have you heard about the signs God has shown? And verse 66, everyone who heard, they wondered about it. And they were asking, what is this child going to be? What is God's plan and purpose in this life? What is God now doing? As for the Lord's hand was with him. Verse 80, as John grew up, he became strong in spirit. He lived in the desert until he appeared publicly. The hand of God was with him. Now here's a true work of God, because it brings the attention onto God, that man disappears into the background. Even Zechariah the priest, it wasn't any praise to him. Nobody was saying what a great man he was. They had seen how God had disciplined him. But all the eyes were on God. What is God doing? What is God going to do? That's a test. Has God worked in your life? Are your eyes now upon him? And are people seeing the change so that they praise God? Are people saying, what has happened in his life? What has happened in her life? He now works hard. He's now honest. She used to be a gossiper, but now she speaks words of kindness and she covers over bad things and speaks in love. Are the neighbors and the friends saying, you know, since that person came to Christ, they've really changed. God has done a wonderful thing. Hard working, honest, left behind the old sins. What a great God. God was working in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, preparing the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. What has God been doing in your life? Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Has God humbled you for your sin? Has God tested you and you've proved your faith in Christ, that you're trusting in the death of Jesus alone? Has the blessing come into your life, the blessings of salvation? Is the power of God now in your life a changed life, a life you're now living in obedience to his word? You can't yet see Jesus Christ, but even in the dark, by faith, you obey him. What has God done to prepare you for the day when his son comes back?